Here's your fair value brief for Monday, August 3, 2026. This week, three big shifts are reshaping markets. AI's profit potential is stealing the spotlight from hardware. Oil prices are whipsawing on Middle East tensions, and the yen's wild moves just forced the US and Japan to step in together. Let's break it down. First, Amazon's 17% weekly jump changed the game. The stock surge wasn't just about earnings, it was about proof. AWS showed AI can actually boost profits, not just burn cash. Operating margins hit 31%, up from 25% last year. That's why Google climbed 6.7%, Microsoft rose 3%, and the whole software sector got a lift. Meanwhile, the old AI darlings, hardware players like Apple and Micron, got crushed. Apple dropped 7%, Micron fell 6% today, and 20% this month. The message is clear. Investors now want companies earning from AI, not just building it. But here's the catch. This rotation hinges on one question. Can other industries replicate Amazon's success? If hospitals, banks, and manufacturers can't turn AI into real profits, this trade could reverse fast. And with the Fed signaling just one quarter point cut in 2027, borrowing costs for long-term AI projects are only going up. That makes cash-generating software look even more attractive by default. Now, to the markets. Oil's 7% drop to $83.74 might look like a relief, but don't be fooled. The drop came after Trump called off retaliatory strikes on Iran, for now. But the Strait of Hormuz is still effectively blocked. Only 11 tankers passed through on Sunday, compared to 63 in early July. And this morning, Iran executed two alleged Israeli agents. A reminder that tensions are far from over. OPEC's tiny output increase, just 188,000 barrels a day in September, won't fix the supply squeeze. If diplomacy fails, Brent crude could snap back toward $90, reigniting inflation fears just as the Fed's trying to get a handle on them. Meanwhile, currency markets are in chaos. The yen surged nearly 4% this week, with USD/JPY plunging 1.9% today, to 157.09. That forced the first joint US-Japan currency intervention since 2022. Why does this matter? A stronger yen hurts Japanese exporters. Toyota fell 3% in Tokyo, and it could spark a broader currency war if other Asian central banks jump in to defend their own currencies. For the Fed, this is a headache. A weaker dollar loosens financial conditions, the opposite of what they want right now. If the yen keeps rising, the Fed might have to sound even more hawkish, pushing rate cuts further into the future. Here's what to watch this week. Today's ISM manufacturing PMI, forecast at 54, will test whether the market's fragile optimism can hold. A weak reading could push the 10-year Treasury yield toward 4.75%, forcing the Fed to choose between inflation they can't ignore and growth they can't control. Then on Tuesday, AMD's earnings will show whether the hardware slowdown is just a blip or something deeper. Keep an eye on data center GPU demand. And don't forget the US-Iran talks. Even a partial reopening of the Strait of Hormuz could lift energy stocks and inflation-sensitive sectors. Now let's zoom out. The big story here is AI's profit test. For months, the playbook was simple. Bet on the companies supplying the picks and shovels. NVIDIA, AMD, Micron, Apple. But Amazon's earnings changed everything. AWS proved AI can drive margins, not just costs. That's why software stocks are suddenly leading the charge, while hardware names are getting left behind. But this shift rests on a shaky assumption that AI productivity gains are real, scalable, and lasting. Right now, Amazon's the only proof point. If other companies can't deliver similar results, this rotation could unwind fast. And with the Fed keeping rates higher for longer, there's little margin for error. Here's the tension in markets right now. Stocks are acting optimistic, but bonds are flashing caution. The S&P 500 futures are up 0.5%, the Nasdaq's climbing on Amazon's momentum, and even the Russell 2000 steadying after last month's sell-off. The VIX is at 16.05, hardly panic territory. But bonds tell a different story. The 10-year Treasury yield is stuck at 4.68%, just off last week's highs. The two-year yield, which tracks Fed policy more closely, is at 4.23%. That narrow spread suggests bond investors aren't buying the stock rally. They're pricing in sticky inflation prolonged high rates, and a Fed that's in no hurry to cut. And the data backs them up. Second quarter GDP grew just 1.5%, but private domestic demand, the stuff the Fed really watches, accelerated to 3.9%. Unemployment's at 4.2%, wage growth is holding at 4% annually, and core PCE inflation, the Fed's favorite measure, is still at 2.5%, above their 2% target. The Fed's latest projections show just one quarter point cut in 2027, a sharp reversal from the three cuts markets were expecting last month. So what does this mean for you? Mortgage rates are back up. The 30-year fixed hit 6.66%, a one-year high. With the 10-year yield above 4.5%, don't expect relief soon. On the bright side, high-yield savings accounts and CDs are still paying 5% or more. If you've been waiting to lock in rates, now's the time. In stocks, leadership stays narrow, just Amazon, Google, and Microsoft driving gains. The average S&P 500 stock is up just a tenth of a percent this month. In crypto, Bitcoin's stuck in a range, down 1.1% today to $62,700, as high treasury yields dampen risk appetite. Oil's the wild card. Brent's drop to $83.74 reflects Trump's canceled strikes, but the Strait of Hormuz is still a choke point. If talks fail, oil could spike to $90, and inflation fears would flare up all over again. Now, let's look around the world. The yen surge is sending ripples everywhere. Japan and the U.S. intervening in currency markets is a big deal. It hasn't happened since 2022. A stronger yen hurts exporters like Toyota, Sony, and Panasonic, and it could trigger a domino effect if South Korea or Taiwan feel pressured to act. For the Fed, a weaker dollar complicates their inflation fight. If the yen keeps rising, they might have to get even tougher on rates. Over in China, factory activity's weakening faster than expected. Export orders shrank for the third straight month, and with no major stimulus in sight, Europe's recovery and commodity prices, think copper, iron ore, could take another hit. Back in Washington, the Fed's in a tight spot. Last week's FOMC meeting had three dissents, officials pushing for a rate hike, the most hawkish split since 2018. Chair Kevin Warsh's message was clear: no cuts until inflation is under control. With core PCE still at 2.5% and wage growth at 4%, the Fed's not blinking. Now, the yen's volatility adds another layer. A weaker dollar eases financial conditions, which is the last thing the Fed wants. If the yen keeps strengthening, the Fed might have to double down on their hawkish stance, delaying cuts even longer, or, in a worst-case scenario, considering another hike. There's also a hidden risk in AI's funding squeeze. Venture capital's pulling back from early-stage AI startups, forcing them to rely on cloud credits or alternative funding. Meanwhile, security risks are driving up costs for AI projects. If funding dries up, new compute capacity, the engine of AI productivity, could stall. And that's a problem, because the Fed's already assuming modest growth. If AI underdelivers, rates stay high, bond yields climb, and stocks face a valuation reset. Right now, investors are focused on big tech's headline earnings, but they're missing the supply-side constraint. If AI-driven productivity stalls, the Fed stays hawkish, and that's bad news for risk assets. Here's what's worth learning today: the Fed's dual mandate. Congress gave the Fed two jobs in 1977, stable prices and maximum employment. Think of it like a seesaw. When inflation gets too heavy, the Fed raises rates to cool demand, which eventually slows hiring and wage growth, bringing prices back down. When unemployment gets too high, they cut rates to boost hiring. But cut too much, and inflation can spike. Right now, inflation's the heavier side. Core PCE is at 2.5%, above the Fed's 2% target. That's why today's ISM manufacturing PMI, which came in at 53.3, sent bond yields higher, even though the reading was softer than expected. The report showed input prices, a key inflation measure, climbing. So while slower growth might normally push the Fed to cut, rising prices keep them on hold. The bond market's reaction tells you which mandate the Fed's prioritizing right now: inflation. Finally, here's what to watch this week. Today's ISM manufacturing PMI at 10 a.m. Eastern could set the tone. A miss might revive Fed cut bets, but the inflation details will matter more. Tuesday brings New Zealand's employment report, If unemployment tops the 5.4% forecast, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand could cut rates sooner, weakening the Kiwi and strengthening the dollar. Then on Friday, keep an eye on average hourly earnings and non-farm payrolls. Wage growth above 0.3% keeps the Fed on hold, and payrolls below the 88,000 consensus could shift rate expectations. The unemployment rate's worth watching too. A tick up from 4.2% would give the Fed something to think about. That's your brief for Monday. Stay sharp. This week's data will tell us whether the Fed's inflation fight is winning or if growth is about to force their hand.